All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up? Hey. I'm Penn.
How you doing, Penn?
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
Oh, man. I bet you are. We're only 2 days away from what might be the biggest movie day ever.
I have a confession.
Yeah.
I went on the radio this morning to my favorite people in the world, Fun 101,
mm-hmm.
and I told them that I think this is going to be the biggest movie of the year. I felt like I betrayed everything that I've stood for over the last 13 weeks.
I'm surprised they didn't throw it back in your face. We've been listening to your podcast.
I felt like such a hypocrite because then when I'm on the radio and it's the week before Star Wars, I'm going to say the exact same thing about Star Wars. Just don't call me out on it. That's all.
You know, in your perspective of the time, it makes sense.
That's it.
I'll give you that much.
You got to live in the now.
Let me tell you this little thing that happened. Right, like we're you and I will be there at opening night.
Yeah.
You see us,
can't
say
wait.
Hi, because we'll be there 6 o'clock IMAX. But here's the thing that happened. I got some texts from my buddy yesterday, and he says, "Hey, let's separate the boys from the men."
Oh boy,
2:30 encore screening. Who's in? And I said, "If by boys from the men, you mean the men have jobs so they won't be there? Put me with the men."
Yes. We have pre-sold 28 tickets to the 2:30 a.m. show.
Wow. I'm, you're going to get more.
When
I'm sure.
I think it's going to hit 100. I think you'll get my prediction is you get 100 people to the 2:30 a.m. show in a 400-seat IMAX theater.
Wow.
I'm going to be there to greet them when they come out at 5 o'clock. I'll be there with coffee and donuts.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
I did that for one of the Harry Potters.
Yeah.
And regrets, man.
Regrets.
Regrets. Many regrets. Well, before we get too deep into Avengers, because that's what we're talking about, getting ready for Avengers Endgame.
Because we could easily just shit can the whole show that we worked and set up and wrote and everything
just
spin off into madness.
But we have some legitimate news to go over.
We do.
Let's start with our favorite universe, the dark universe that doesn't exist anymore. Elizabeth Moss is now officially signed on to star in the upcoming Invisible Man movie. Does that mean that she's the Invisible Man? Does that mean that she's visible and he's not? What do you think?
Obviously, I have no idea. So we'll just start with that. But
that hasn't stopped us from making
speculation before. It's never stopped us before.
Have you heard our Oscars episode?
But here's what I want to say about it. It's not much. It's just one comment. I think it would be great if she was the Invisible Man and they still called it the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that. I think that somehow very subtly strikes a big chord in favor of gender equality. You know, if you take the significance of the word man out of the equation.
Right.
You know, like the Invisible Man starring Elizabeth Moss as the Invisible Man.
I love it.
I think it's great.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do we know when this movie comes out?
I didn't hear.
Like, are they still filming or is it post-production?
Oh, I don't think it's. I mean, she just signed.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've even started.
So it's got to be 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like her a lot. She's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So on that alone, I'm open-minded to the project.
Well, she's in that Handmaid's Tale now, right? Yeah. So that's cool. Very cool. We got our first look at Child's Play this week. I mean, we're going to talk about the trailer, but Audrey Plaza. I saw you put in this note here, and I was going to bring that up. I was like, she's transitioned from, like, the teenager. She's like, all of a sudden, she's the mom in the movies now.
Is she? I mean, I know she is. I know that's the role she's playing in Child's Play, and I'm a big fan. I'm super excited for her, and I just feel like she skipped. Like she like I don't think she's she doesn't need to go to the mom roles yet.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is really kind of quick.
So I get the sense that she, Aubrey Plaza, is one of these really I'm trying to think of like a good, almost like a Tom Hardy type of, they pick really specific roles, you know, and don't even, they're more focused on the craft, right?
Okay.
And so, which I respect, and that's great. Good for you. And because I respect that and because I'm rooting for her, I want her to start really starring in some titles. And I can't wait until the first movie comes out where she's the lead in a playing, you know, straightforward. It might be a comedy. It might be, you know, a little bit of a dark comedy because she sort of has that, you know, image or that vibe to her. But I think that she has not yet left behind Parks and Rec.
Mm.
And she needs to do that. She needs to get a title that will push her past. So nobody, when George Clooney's in a movie, nobody calls him the guy from ER.
I did for a long time.
Sure, of course he did, right? I mean, at the time, that was like what he was known for.
Yeah.
But now it's been so long, and he's made a very successful movie career for himself. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wishing for Aubrey.
She's great. She's fantastic.
Yeah. And she's a Delaware kid.
There you go.
I love it.
She plays mean so well. It works so well for
her.
All right, so what kind of news do you got over there?
In the Heights. I mean, we're a big Lin-Manuel Miranda fan mm-hmm. over here, Hamilton and whatnot. And we saw In the Heights when they did it at the Fulton Opera House. It was amazing. If you didn't see it, sucks for you. But In the Heights cast announcements continue. In the Heights comes out next summer.
Okay.
So we still have a ways to go. But I was psyched to see two actresses, one from Brooklyn Nine-Nine and one from Orange is the New Black.
Mm.
And I think you should do the honors of reading those.
I was looking at them. I was like, glad I couldn't think I don't have to read these names.
No, I'll give it a shot. Okay. Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Beatrice, right? That's
Beatrice.
Wait a minute.
That sounds like that's something else.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
PG-13, you get one.
And Dasha Polancy.
I would think it's Polancy.
Is it Dasha? Dasha. Probably Dasha. Whatever it is, she was great in Orange is New Black.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great series, and she's going to crush it in In the Heights. And I'm really rooting for this movie to be a success. It was such a great show, and
it's a musical too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
So, and his music is fantabulous.
Amazing. Yeah. I wonder how much longer it's going to be until Hamilton gets a Hollywood script.
I don't know how it hasn't. Well, I guess he has some sort of rights holding on.
I think it's still too hot.
Oh, really?
I mean, you can't get tickets for months in advance, and like the tickets that you get from like StubHub or whatever are still like $1,000 or more for one ticket to see a 2-hour play.
Wow.
Which I'm not trying to disrespect Hamilton. It's totally worth it if you got the cash. But I think as long as it's so hot on Broadway, it's not going to become a movie.
They're not going to do it. Yeah. Same with the Harry Potter one, the Curse of the...
Well, didn't Harry Potter already get a movie?
No, but like the one about his kid, the play about his son.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have a friend who...
You don't know.
Shout out to Elias, working out in L.A. He might be sometimes in New York, but he's a really good friend of Penn Cinema. And he, for a couple seasons, he was announcing the Monday Night Movies.
Oh.
He did a little trivia contest. And anyway, Elias is working for Warner Brothers on the Harry Potter projects.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So good for him. Shout out to Warren. To Elias.
So I got some Star Wars news for you.
Hit me.
And it's not about Rise of Skywalker.
Wait, Star Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, hit me.
Okay. The Russo brothers. Maybe you heard of them. They're on pen to write and make Knights of the Old Republic set of movies? Question mark?
What?
Now, are you familiar with Knights of the Old Republic?
Only in the sense that I know what it is.
Yeah. Well, it was two video games, I guess. I never played them.
Yeah.
But people love them. So it's like Star Wars, but it's set like between, when is it set? I don't know. Before Clone Wars.
Could this be, are you telling me this is the next sort of set?
I don't know if it's the next set because Rian Johnson still has some movies to make, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
The man that killed Star Wars for me has more Star Wars to make.
Come on. You're going there. That's what you're saying.
I went there.
Okay.
And I came back for more.
Okay. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
All right. So that's in the works.
Yeah.
And that's all
more
we know
news
about
to
it.
Come. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there'll be plenty of stuff, especially once the Disney streaming comes around. There's going to be Star Wars news all over the place because they have like a couple shows and stuff. Yeah. So anyway.
Marky Mark.
Oh, your man.
Mark Wahlberg. I do like Mark Wahlberg.
My boy.
Yeah.
I remember. What was it? Was Planet of the Apes one of his first, like, big forays out of music? Well, like, George Clooney, N.E.R.,
right.
When he was in the Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one, he was still, people were like, Marky Mark, a.k.a. Mark Wahlberg's in this movie.
Right. And it's the same thing with, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We just call him Dwayne Johnson now.
Right.
But we used to call him The Rock. We used to have to sort of reference that to
right.
keep track of who he was. I forget what – I'm drawing a little bit of – I like Mark Wahlberg, but I'm sort of drawing a blank on his first couple big movies. You're saying Planet of the Apes.
Well, that's the first one that I remember.
I feel like there was something else.
It's funny, though, because he's a good actor, and I like a lot of the stuff that he's in.
Yeah.
But he also makes a lot of bad movies. It's like, it's a 50-50 with him.
Where do we stand on Ted?
I never saw Ted. Where do you stand on The Happening?
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I was okay with The Happening. I thought it was, I was cool with that. I forgot that he was in that.
Bingo bongo.
Case closed. Bingo bongo. Honey, get your coat.
All right, so what do we got about Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Well, I don't know about the Funky Bunch, but Mr. Wahlberg apparently is in the $6 Billion Man movie. Is this a straight-up $6 Million Man, but it's abbreviated for, or it's adjusted for inflation? Is that what we're doing?
So, from what I understand, is the original idea that was pitched, this is what I've heard rumors on, was the original The Million Dollar Man?
I thought it was, the
$6 Million Man. Is that they were going to call it The $6 Million Man, but it was going to be a comedy, because that's not nearly enough money to do
like,
it.
Like Wayne's, who's the bad guy? Is that not Wayne's World? Who's the bad guy? I'm going to feel so stupid when we remember. The guy says $1 million.
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
actor, wrong show.
Like, so it was going to be like that, but they didn't have, like, they only used $6 million.
Right.
But then they decided to make it like full deal, $6 billion. Man.
Oh, that's a tough, it's tough to recover from that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to want this to be almost like a B movie. Like, it's hard.
Right.
Once you've already opened up that concept, that idea, it's a pretty funny concept.
Does this concept, okay, backtrack a little bit. Seriously, does this concept as a film still work in today's world where we have Iron Man and all these superheroes and, like, augmented people is no longer, it's like a normal thing for us now?
Here's how I would tackle that question. The character, the augmented man, the $6 billion man,
right.
has to be an actual, like, the rest of the movie needs to be very earthy, you know, actual, realistic. Like, it has to be, what would we actually do? Like, Iron Man is amazing. Love Iron Man. But that's, it's hard to picture that in actuality. Like, that's a little bit of a science fiction step. Right. So what I'm saying is, for this to be an interesting concept, I think it needs to be really down to, you know, some, the rest of the world needs to be as it is.
Right.
So who's he fighting?
So the villain has to just be someone with strong military power or a corporation, or it can't be someone with like a superpower.
Almost. I absolutely agree. 100%. Yeah. It almost has to be. And I'm not whatever. But it almost has to be like a James Bond situation.
Yeah. No, I agree. And he just has a little bit more than Bond.
And then what's going to happen is I'm going to watch this movie and I'm going to tell you James Bond would kick this guy's ass.
Where was the supervillain? Well, I know that you're a big fan of Minecraft. You're always telling me about how you play it. It's the big thing with the kids.
Oh,
it's how
yeah.
you keep in touch.
I'm so hip.
Well, there's the movie set to come out March 4th.
Oh, thank God.
2022.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You serious, Clark? Yeah. 2022? Who cares? Okay, I guess a lot of people care.
You care.
But we need to know 3 years in advance.
Well, what's going to take them so long?
Is James Cameron doing it?
Well, I mean, it's going to be animated, right?
Right.
And, like, I mean, you already have, like, the models from the game. It's not like... Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a script, Dave. Don't rush the creative process.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Wait, you're telling me March of 2022.
I checked when I wrote that down. March 2022.
Because we're still in 2019.
My man.
So March of 2020 is an entire year away.
Well,
okay, maybe a year's not long enough, so we'll give you March of 21. But you're telling me no.
When that, like, when they release it and it's bad, they can say hindsight 2020. That's when they should have done it.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm out. End of the show.
Mark your calendar. David's first 2020 joke. It only took 13 episodes. Here we are.
I held back for
there you
a
go.
Long time.
Attaboy. I'm impressed. Now, speaking of 2020 and movies that we probably don't need.
Oh?
Masters of the Universe.
Well, it's been, I don't know if you noticed the note here, it's been delayed until 2020.
That's a bad sign. Who's doing this?
I don't know.
All right.
Who wants this?
All right.
Well, okay, there are people who really like Masters of the Universe.
No, there's nothing wrong with Masters of the Universe. Yeah. That's a legit franchise.
It is.
We'll see. All right, we're gonna get back to you on this one.
Okay.
Because I could see if they're talking about an actual studio hiring an actual scribe. If they're going to get like good people behind it, to me this sort of falls in the category of like what I said about Chipmunks and Lego Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time you see it on the calendar, you're like, what? This is crazy. But then it's done well, done right, and here you are with a great franchise. So it's possible it could go that way.
Okay, it could. If it's done right. Now,
or it could go the way of Hellboy.
Or it could go the way of the first Masters of the Universe
movie. Tell me
with
about
Dolph
that.
Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
And some other guy. And at the end, they were like, I'll be back. And then there was never a sequel. Just saying. If they make this movie, and it does well, then I want a Beastmasters movie. All right?
Going on record.
Yeah. Bring back Beastmasters. All right. John Cena.
More Suicide Squad move news.
Yeah. Dave Bautista out.
Out.
John Cena in. One wrestler for another. How do you feel about that? Jorts all over the place. Everyone's in jorts.
I don't know. I'm whatever. I feel like this franchise has bigger problems than which wrestler they're going to cast in the big bulky guy role.
Why not both of them? Why not both of them as the same guy, and then you just film whatever scenes they're available for?
You're horrible. I can't believe you just said that. You have no respect for the craft.
Or, yeah, no respect for this movie.
Well, that's true. Wait a minute. Is that what we're doing? Are we giving up on Suicide Squad? It's too early. Can't give up on Suicide Squad yet. It's too good.
I'm sorry, what?
It's too good of a story. It's too good of a... Oh, I can't just let it go like that.
I feel like in order to give up on something, you have to have believed in it to start.
I believed.
Well, there's one person.
All right.
Oh,
I stick a pin in
here?
It because
okay.
I don't.
Oh,
I'm not ready to move on.
Okay.
I'm not. You can move on. I'm holding out. And then, all right, tough guy. All right. This is going to be our next wager.
Our next wager is Suicide Squad.
Wait, we're going to get to 2020. Suicide Squad is going to be on our mind.
Okay. What's? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad?
I'm just
we'll
saying.
We'll figure it out.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's officially one doubter in the room and one faithful fan.
Can you figure out which one's which?
All right. Moving on.
Take us out of here with the last thing.
All right. My man. I'm actually pretty excited about this.
I am too.
It's a little bit like, do we need another Bad Boys movie? Not at all.
No.
Are we psyched for another Bad Boys movie?
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, Bad Boys for Life officially wrapped production and has a January 2020 date. Stars this pretty much the same cast, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Joe Pantoliano. Wait.
Pantaleone.
Pantaleone. Yeah, if you say it with an Italian accent, it's easier to pronounce. Pantoliano.
Pantaleone.
He was the guy from, he was great on Sopranos. Mm. I know he's done a ton of other work. He's a very well-credited actor, but
right.
He's most known for his work on Sopranos. And Bad Boys for Life, I don't know if it's going to be good. I don't know if it, whatever.
It doesn't matter. We're going to see
have
it.
Have we seen a trailer yet? I don't think
I don't think it's early for a trailer.
Too early for a trailer.
Maybe in a month.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm psyched. I was happy to see this. Did you know they were making it?
I did.
I didn't.
I didn't realize they had started filming it, though.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about the January release date?
No. I'm a fan of the January release date.
You said that before. It used to be the dump ground, though.
No, it's totally the dump ground.
Yeah.
It totally, you're right. And I that's always been my opinion, still is my opinion. Same with September, October. Same with January, February. But the reason why I like this date is because in amidst, like, it stands on its own. If it's a good quality movie with a known franchise,
okay.
What they're trying to do is they're leaving room for whatever they're bringing out in Christmas. And let's be honest, they're leaving room to let Star Wars dominate the box office. You know, biggest movie of the year coming out right then and there in December. And then I like it. I like that you put that trailer on every movie that plays over Christmas.
Okay.
And then the dust settles. Everybody goes back to school. January, got a franchise, got a reason to come back.
Tell me about your back to school fashion. She said everybody's going back to school, so what kind of backpack are you going to be sporting there, Pam?
JanSport, obviously. I always wore my backpack with both straps.
Both straps.
Oh, yeah. I was yep.
Did you have Maria Clare Trapper Keeper or whatever it was?
I did have a Trapper Keeper with Star Wars stuff, obviously.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And I believe I had some Smurfs. Trapper Keepers in my day.
Whoa.
Back in the day. I believe there might have been an A-Team.
Lisa Frank, that's her name.
Trapper Keeper? Lisa Frank, what?
Yeah, Lisa Frank. They're like the really colorful like animals with sparkles and stuff.
That I did not have.
He's lying.
Well, when Amy and I were dating in college, I always wore my backpack with both straps on, and she would, without mercy, make fun of me. And I always said, like, what if somebody jumps out from behind that tree right there and starts chasing me?
What if?
I got to be ready to roll at any time. I got to be able to jump over that fence, drop and roll, do a stump and roll. What if I'm driving somewhere and I need to jump out of the car? I'm going to leave my backpack in the car? Well, you don't know. I might have the Tesseract in it. I got to be ready at all times.
Good to go. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
But she said I looked nerdy.
You?
Yeah. Hard to believe.
I would have never thought.
No.
And you had the long hair.
I did.
And the backpack.
And the backpack.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I was ready for business.
Okay. Sidetrack. I was ready for business because I didn't have a backpack.
What?
I had a briefcase. I had a briefcase and a tan trench coat.
Stop it.
No joke.
You did not.
And I liked to wear uniforms. I had a naval uniform and a police officer's uniform, and I flew out. That's what I would wear to school.
That's the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. It's,
I mean, can you believe I was so popular with the ladies?
Well, yeah.
I mean, clear. I was in a uniform.
That's
why not,
it
right?
started. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. All right. Bad Boys for Life, we're in.
Bad Boys for Life.
It's basically a movie about us. Let's move on to trailers.
The Penn and David story.
Yeah, it's the underscore. Okay, back to Booksmart.
So we're transitioning to discuss new trailers.
New trailers.
Okay.
Yeah. Booksmart. 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whatever. We found this movie. Yeah. And we were like, whoa.
What?
So I didn't find another Red Band, but I found the Green Band trailer.
Okay.
So I think the Red Band one was the one we watched before, no?
I don't know.
Okay. Red, second trailer, Green Band. And it was equally as hilarious. Some new shots in there. I'm watching this and I'm like, is Drew going to tell us that we should know these girls from some other thing? Is that what is that what's going to happen? Because I'm about to say I don't know who these girls are, but we're going to know who they are after this.
You know what's happening in this day and age that we're living in? And
what's
we are
that?
Living in the golden age of entertainment.
Yeah.
Just in case there's anybody listening to us who's not aware.
Right.
There's never been as much good content out in the world as there is now.
Right.
We all know my position on Netflix and whatever, but the upside of that is that as a consumer, I can go home and have an incredible array of amazing content. I'm a huge fan. I think it's the best thing in the world. What it creates is a situation where you and I, and any person, is, you know, if we didn't catch a certain show. And there's just too many. You can't catch all of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, you didn't watch Orange is the New Black.
Right.
That's crazy. But you were probably busy watching something else.
Must have been.
And there's certainly popular, like The Crown.
Yeah.
We're going to talk in a little while about, I think it's Jessica Kirby or something like that. Vanessa Kirby from The Crown. I've never seen that show, but I know it's immensely popular. My point is there's so much content out there. You can no longer keep track of all the movie stars. And all the people who are, like, hot from some show.
Especially now that there's over 13 hours of the Penn Cinema podcast, everyone's favorite podcast. When do you have time for anything else when you're re-listening through the whole catalog?
Right. I know. It's crazy.
Right. But so Drew will know, though.
Yes. Thanks in advance to Drew for letting us know who these two ladies are.
Yeah.
They're incredibly talented. They're hilarious. I cannot wait. I got the invitation to the trade screening. I already marked it in my calendar. I'm going... 100%.
Where was my invite? okay. This is a movie I kind of I'm on the fence about, but I know that you're kind of off the fence about it. Long Shot.
Which way do you think I'm off the fence?
No. You told me no before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a journey with this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I'm back on the fence.
Okay. Yeah, you're not like totally for it. You're just like, I will see.
No. I am for it. I'll watch it. I'm looking forward to it, and I bet it's going to be funny. But here's what was interesting to me. I watched the first trailer, and we talked about it, and it's whatever. I still agree that it's going to be a really funny romantic comedy that a year from now we're not going to remember we watched.
Yeah. Now, okay? This is with Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, right.
Yeah.
Both of whom are very talented and hilarious.
Right.
So we watched the first trailer. We talked about this. I'm back and forth, whatever. We have a whole conversation about forgettable movies. And then I watched the second trailer, and I'm dying. I'm at my desk, cracking up, dying, laughing, going, boy, this movie's going to be amazing. The one scene where she's obviously some kind of supportive actress, like she might be the Charlize Theron's like best friend or something like that. And she's like obviously texting somebody. And like under her breath, she's all by herself, and under her breath, she's going, I'm so scared. It's like perfect. You know, the way she says it, she just nails it. So now I watch the second trailer, and I'm like, oh, this movie's going to be great. Can't wait to see this movie. And then something happened, and it's never happened to me before. I watch a third trailer, and I'm like, Like, they should have stopped after the second trailer. Whoever made the second trailer should get props, and whoever made the third trailer should be shit-canned.
It kind of all blended together for me, except for I think in the second and third, they played up that like bit where he's in the suit. He doesn't have a suit.
Right.
And she gets him one.
Right.
But there were bits of that were more of in the third one that made me laugh only because of the second trailer. Because I think it's the second trailer they really play it up. And then in the third one, it's kind of like a little bit of a bit. But there's just a small section where they're walking down the hall and he's next to her and she's like, no, you've got to be way back there.
My question for this movie is, he takes a hilarious spill down the steps.
Oh.
Right, you remember that from the trailer. He takes a long spill.
Right.
So my question is this movie going to turn into like Airplane? Are we going to get like Leslie Nielsen like doing stunt pratfalls? You know, like it doesn't appear to be just a normal run-of-the-mill romantic comedy, like, because they keep showing him falling down those steps like crazy. I feel like there's a lot of slapstick humor.
Yeah.
And that could end up being a really nice element.
And you know they get high at one point, so there'll be plenty of, like, weird stuff with that, slapstick with that. So
some hangover stuff there.
This could go either way. Honestly, it could. I don't think it's going to be good. I think it's either going to be, like, pleasantly fun or totally unforgettable.
It opens in the shadow of Avengers. So Avengers opens on Thursday, and then next Thursday, Long Shot opens.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to review something.
Yeah.
So maybe.
All right. I think we should do our second Endgame review. I already got plans to watch it a second time.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. All right. Dark Phoenix final trailer.
Okay.
I'm on board for this. You're not. I got so excited watching this final trailer, and I thought to myself, you know, Penn, you've never given the X-Men their due. I've never given them the props and the respect and the love. What, you're making a face like I'm crazy. I've never been a big X-Men fan. I feel like this movie could turn the tides.
Could
it?
It's the last one that, like, of this, like, well, I guess their New Mutants is supposedly still getting pushed out, but they filmed that years ago and they still haven't released it, so that's probably going to suck. But here's the thing. I know there were reshoots for this, right?
It's a bad sign.
Lots of reshoots. And this was supposed to come out, like, in the fall or something, and then it was winter, and now it's whenever it is now.
June 7th.
Right. So my thing with this Phoenix, in order to get, I'm going to get comic booky on you. In order to get the Dark Phoenix, you have to appreciate the Phoenix, right? The Phoenix is an entity that enters Jean Grey, and it's good for a while, and then it doesn't want to leave her, and then she becomes the Dark Phoenix. The old X-Men did it in X-Men 3, and it was horrible because they just made it like a split personality. And then all the trailers before this one made it look like it was a split personality and sucky. But then this is the first one where you see it enter her in space, which makes me more optimistic, but also really skeptical if that's something they just added in. Mm. And that's only going to, like, slightly...
Interesting.
Plus, I might be in love with Jessica Chastain, and I don't dig the white hair.
No,
so, I mean...
I don't dig the white hair either, but that was not as big of a deal.
Well, it's not that big of a deal. I'm just being dumb.
I feel like this is one of those times where my lack of comic book literature expertise, you know, it's like ignorance is bliss. Since I don't have any problem, I don't know all that background, so I'm just going in and hoping for a good movie.
Mm. I am hoping that I don't hate it.
Are you going to watch it?
Oh, totally. I'll see it. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to not see it.
Right.
I'm ready for this franchise to be done and just Marvel to absorb them back now that they own them again.
Wow.
I mean, I just would rather see these characters done right. It was heavy stuff.
It got serious
for
a minute there.
Commercial break here.
What movie was that recently? Might have been Suicide Squad. No, it wasn't. What was the one where they went to the house and they were like, it really kind of feels like they just didn't have the budget for all the X-Men?
Oh, Deadpool.
Deadpool. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Suicide Squad. It's DC.
I know. I'm just saying.
You can't. Sorry, there's no episode next week. I had enough.
Okay, right. I have another opinionated trailer here for Playmobil the movie.
Okay.
What do I even do with this? I liked it better when they called it Lego. The Lego franchise.
Yeah. Okay, I have two things to say about this trailer. One, I was like, I put it on there without having watched it first, thinking, oh, Penn, here you go. And then two, I was surprised at how different it was from what I expected.
In what way?
Well,
it was exactly what I expected, and I was so sad.
Well, I was expecting it to be like the Lego movie, and it's like, but it's about people who get turned into the Playmobiles and taken to their world, which I thought was a different aspect.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then there was at least two points in the trailer where I was like, oh, well, that's kind of... I mean, if I was a kid, that would be cute and funny. Like, I mean, it is a stretch. But It doesn't look as good as Lego. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
When does it? It comes out this summer, I think.
I think it does.
I don't know. I agree with you that it looks like a good, fun kids movie.
Yeah.
My problem with it is that it's so close to Lego Movie. It looks like a lot like Lego Movie, except maybe not quite as great.
Yeah. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the whole Pixar DreamWorks shenanigans back in the day. Things are a little bit more even now, but back in the day it was like, Pixar's got Toy Story, and then DreamWorks puts out, like,
yeah,
Shrek.
You know what would be great? You know what would be great? Oh, you heard it here first.
Oh, boy.
How about, like, what do they call that? When two people from two different franchises, like, cross? Like, when two TV shows exist, and, like when Sammy from Cheers went on, like, whatever.
I'm going to blow your mind with what they call it.
What do they call it?
A crossover.
How about that? How about a Lego Movie Playmobil crossover? Like, you're watching a Playmobil movie, and then the credits run, and then after the credits, there's a little stinger, and the Lego guy comes walking across. Because, you know, we all played. Like, we all had Legos and Playmobil people, and, you know, we played with all of them together at once.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the best. Now you want me on board. Now you got me on board.
You got to go watch the whole thing before you get to that one point.
Well, it would be like a stinger.
Yeah.
You know, and then
next summer. They're not owned. Is Playmobil part of Lego?
I don't.
I mean, Duplo is.
You mean, no, I'm pretty sure that it's not.
Oh.
But I might be wrong on that.
What if
they
cross over with Weebles?
I think they're both Warner Brothers, though, releasing these movies.
Oh, really?
I think. Ooh, we might have to get back to you on that.
Okay. That's an interesting. The toy universe is coming together.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay.
Wow.
We mentioned it before. Child's Play. This is an interesting twist I did not expect the franchise to go in. With Chucky being maybe electronic and controlling. Like, with the current day and age of electronics, everything's controlled. Like, he's possessed or he's able to control, like, all the house electronics and everything. I did think it was funny in the trailer how all the household, like, Alexa-enabled devices were all, like, giant. Like, the thermostat is, like, a 6-inch clock. So that you can relate. This is interesting. Thoughts?
I thought the trailer looked great. I think the movie looks great. I can't wait. I'm on board. I don't think it's not changing your world. It's not going to be one of those movies where it's like, oh, you better make time to see it. You know, but if you have a window where you're ready to go see a movie and you're in the mood for a scary movie, I think this movie's going to, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And the trailer, I think, does exactly what you would want a trailer to do, which is get you more excited about it.
Yeah. Not my type of movie. Unless we review it, I probably won't see it. But for what it is and what it's advertising, I think it does a good job.
Okay. I got two movies on here that I took issue with.
Okay. Hit it up.
Fast Color.
Okay.
Is a trailer for a movie which looks terrific and is in theaters on April 19th.
That soon?
Which I believe already happened.
That happened?
And Bliss is being released by the UK Sony Home Video Department. So both of these movies, Fast Color and Bliss, both look... I mean,
who knows what Bliss is about, first off?
No, nobody does.
Sometimes mistakes are made. How was I supposed to know these things? These trailers were just released. According to the YouTubes, they were like fresh.
Yeah. Well, according to Box Office Mojo and IMDb, Fast Color was released in theaters on April 19th.
I don't know how to tell you this, but you can edit these notes.
I did. I did edit them, and that's why I put them there. So I lumped those two trailers together.
Yeah.
And we won't waste any more time talking about it.
Okay, let's move past this.
Because we have a big one.
Ugh.
Actually, we have two big ones.
Yeah.
Let's do Pikachu first.
Okay.
We'll save the best for last.
All right.
The What a Pikachu World trailer. All it did was affirm what we already think.
Yeah.
Great movie. Really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very creative. I'm psyched. I think that unlike the Playmobil, I know that this is a child's movie, a kid's movie, where the concept has sort of been done before. but somehow what I'm seeing in these trailers looks fresh and exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
This is what I saw with this. This movie is just what a Wonderful World, and it's just scenes of the beautifully rendered Pokemon not fighting, even though Pokemon is a fighting game for animals. What I noticed, the big thing of this was, after watching the trailer, this movie's rated PG, which is fine, but I feel like the other two trailers marketed it more as a PG-13 movie, and I saw this as a very smart, very well done, clever backpedal as to what age bracket can see this movie.
That's an astute observation.
Well, I am the acclaimed Professor David.
I didn't pick up on that, but now that you say it, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
So.
Okay. Right. Best trailer of the week, though.
Oh,
take it away.
Hands down. Hobbs and Shaw, trailer 2. Even though it says Sean. Who knows who put the Sean part there? Maybe me. I don't know. Hobbs and Shaw, trailer 2. With Vanessa Kirby from The Crown. Also Mission Impossible, right?
Yeah.
She does an amazing, like, hardball face.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be great in this. Yeah. This trailer looks so crazy, insane. Is it a video game? Is it a movie? Is it finished? Because it doesn't look finished.
You know what
Who
it is?
Knows?
It's Fast and the Furious. I mean, this franchise, I've always loved this franchise. Mm-hmm. And every movie, they do some crazier and crazier, you know, chase scene and like whatever. And now they got, let me try to piece this together. They got a guy in a truck who lassos a helicopter.
I was just thinking about that.
Right? With what? Something else. But then he's trying to hold the helicopter down, and a truck in front of him throws the trailer hitch onto that truck. And then the helicopter takes the two of them, and I think somehow there's
like four trucks long.
There's like four trucks long hanging off of this helicopter, which flies them out over the ocean, and chaos ensues. And I mean, on the one hand, like, it's insanely ridiculous.
But it's so good.
It's so good.
And the comedy seems spot on.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, the Fast and the Furious movies are about family.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Vin Diesel's always saying. How could this movie be about families, two unrelated guys? But no, it's all about family. You got the sister of bald dude. Jason Statham. My gosh, my friends are going to hate me for not remembering who he is. My man, Jason Statham.
I like how you said bald dude, as if that clarified between the two of them, you know, which one
it is. So, and then you go to Hawaii to visit, and they do a haka dance, the whole family, which is pretty awesome. When does this come out?
I think it's later this summer.
It's not soon enough.
Yeah. No, I'm excited.
I want this now.
Yeah. This movie is ridiculous. I can't wait to see it.
Like, I'm going to walk out of the vendors going, that was amazing.
Shut up.
When is Hobbs and Shaw? That's my next high. Please. All right. So let's go over just real quick. What was going on in the theater this week?
Nothing
at the theater.
I'll tell you. Actually, I do have an interesting piece of news. And I'm proud of myself. Sometimes I predict things. Sometimes I know what I'm talking about. As we were wrapping up our day on Friday, I said to Drew, I think Captain Marvel's going to have a big weekend.
Oh.
Now, Captain Marvel's been out seven weeks now, going into its eighth week. And like any normal movie franchise, it should be dying off. But I was astute at noticing that, you know, hey, with this big, everybody's talking about Avengers, and there's probably going to be some people who want to see what, you know, they missed it the first time or whatever. It's a great movie. And it's great. And Shazam has been out since then. A bunch of other titles have been out since then. La La Rona was released.
Mm-hmm.
Number one movie in Lititz was Captain Marvel.
Wow.
Number one.
Number one.
By a good bit, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what happened this weekend.
Wow.
Essentially underscoring what I was going to say, which was nothing happened this weekend except everyone walking around talking about Avengers. So let's do the same.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our big topic here. Avengers pregame Endgame. We rewatched this movie. We rewatched Infinity War.
Yes.
Okay. What is your impression? It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel rewatching Infinity War.
I had not watched Infinity War since it came out last year.
Okay.
All right. So we'll just put that out there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I loved it last year. I loved it again.
Yeah.
You know, when I watched it. And I forgot how funny. Like, it starts out heavy with Thor, you know, and then you have the meat of the movie. And I forgot how many funny moments there are. Like, Thor keep calling him Rabbit. It's just hilarious. Like, I really, that's my big takeaway, is I forgot how funny it was.
I'll agree with you there. There were things, it was like I was picking up on small visual details that I hadn't picked up before. The last time I watched it is when it came out on video. I watched it.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed rewatching it. It got me even more pumped. I thought I was going to be like, I mean, like, I love this movie, but I'm kind of like just watching it because I have to get ready. But I was like fully invested.
Oh, I felt the exact same way.
Yeah.
I was hanging on every word. Yeah. And when it was over, I was already excited for Avengers, and then I was just crazy excited for Avengers. But we have a couple quotes we wanted to relive.
Let's
do
it.
Some highlights from the comedy. When Tony Stark says to Bruce Banner, remember you have to explain to me why he's trying to turn into the Hulk, but he can't do it anymore.
We don't know why.
Is that going to come back?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Okay. And so Tony says to Bruce, dude, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards. And you liked the one where Drax says, I've mastered the art of standing still so I can become invisible to the eye.
That's such a great scene.
And it's brilliant by the Russo brothers to give him, like, the comedic timing is just brilliant because everybody in the screen and in the auditorium and in the ship is, like, watching it.
We can see you. My movements. So slow.
And then Thor, we already said about the rabbit, is right. But when they're making the game plan, and he goes, we've got two ships and a wide assortment of morons. So then Thor's like, okay, morons, you do your... It's like the dad from the Goldbergs.
Oh, it's so great.
And you like the line where he says, I'll kill you. And then Thor says, only if I die doing it.
Yeah. That's
what kills you means. So yeah, so all the comedy aside, the comedy was great. You and I got super psyched. Whatever. We wanted to talk about Stan Lee.
Okay. This is his last cameo. Okay.
All right. Just give me a nudge when you're done talking about Stan Lee so I can get back to the movie.
Wow. This is Stan Lee's last cameo. The last one they filmed, I guess, before.
On account of him being dead.
Yeah, but they did a bunch of them before that.
Right.
Because he was getting old.
He was getting
This is his last one. You don't care. Do you feel they should keep going? Like, should they like Princess Leia him into the movies, just in the background of stuff? What do you think? He's an icon. Oh my word! Pence face.
Whatever.
I didn't realize you could eye roll like with your mouth too.
Here's my position. I've never been a big fan of director cameos.
He's not... Okay, I get what you're saying.
And I really don't like it when it's like the way he did it. Like, there's always a cameo. Like, it was funny, like... what was his cameo in Iron Man, the first Iron Man? Like, I feel like the first couple times there was a cameo, it was like, oh my God, that's Stan Lee. That's funny. Yeah. Like, it's cute. You know, like, oh, it's
And then creative. He was in everything.
And then he was everything. And then... By the end of it, I was just sick of it. I was like, whatever. There's 4 seconds in the movie we didn't need. Now, with that being said, he's a legend. And, you know, all props, you know, to the king of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's passed away, let's move on. You know, he's gone. This is the end of a chapter, an era. People are saying, like, whatever, you know. If they pre-filmed the cameo for him in Endgame, great, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that. He was in Captain Marvel. That's all good. I do not think they need to keep the cameo going. Like, they should not Princess Leia him.
I hear you talking, but all I am thinking is, can I get a cardboard cut out of Stan Lee for Penn's office? so he can't escape him.
Have you ever heard the expression, you should never meet your heroes? Have we talked about
yeah.
that? I feel like we've talked about
yeah.
that. You ever seen Stan Lee at Comic-Con?
Yes, I have.
He acts like a total asshole,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. It. Every time I saw him, it was very clear he was there for money and didn't actually care about what he was doing.
Right. So, yeah. So with that being said,
yeah.
doesn't that, for you, take away a little bit? Doesn't that make the cameos feel a little bit self-serving, self-aggrandizing? I mean, you're already a legend. You're already an icon.
Yeah.
And we all know, you know, that you created these characters, whatever.
Right. I don't need them to go on. I'm just being devil's advocate here. I thought they were already finished. I didn't realize there was
right.
one more. I mean, it's one of those things, fans go crazy when they see them.
Yeah.
And it's always fun for, like, you know, when you're watching it at home, for people who never saw it before, they're like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
And you're like, uh-huh, yeah, 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 there he is. Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get past this.
Yeah, we're past that.
It's all you want to talk about, but we can move past it. Theories. Specifically bad theories. I put a couple of these down here.
Yes, I can't wait to hear them.
Okay. One I read is everyone's mind will get wiped at the end and that no one will remember.
Wait, don't you have this show mixed up with Men in Black?
Right? This is why it sounds horrible. It's like everyone's mind gets wiped and they won't remember that this big bad thing happened.
Okay.
Maybe people are back to life. Who knows? Maybe some people aren't.
Well, that doesn't bring anybody back to life. You're just saying that eases everybody's suffering
right.
because they don't remember that their loved ones are gone. I would
right.
have a crazy problem with that scenario.
Right. Which goes into the second one here
yeah.
that I have is that there's going to be time travel in this movie, most likely, that some of the movies are undone due to time travel. Do you know why that bothers me?
Why?
Because we have 22 films that make up this amazing cinematic universe.
Of canon.
Right? Of canon. Of like,
right.
to me, watching these movies, if you're like, if you really want to experience it, start at the beginning, watch every
yeah.
movie, like take it in bit by bit. But if you come in and you say, boom, this movie didn't happen, I have no reason whatsoever to watch that movie ever again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm rewatching, you know, maybe
yeah.
10 years from now, I'm
sure.
rewatching the movies.
Yeah.
I can just skip over Thor 2. It's not that good. I mean, but it doesn't matter in the long run. Like, whatevs. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's my problem with this scenario. It makes me angry on the inside and angry on the outside. What do you think?
I agree with that. I feel you.
The only reason it worked for X-Men is because their movies were crap. And you were like, remember the crap movies? They don't exist anymore. How about these okay ones?
Easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your Ant-Man theory? That's
okay. So this one that's really popular on the interwebs. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yes. I got a newfangled computer that has the interwebs on it.
It's the Ant-Man Thanos butt theory.
Okay.
And that the question started with, could Ant-Man crawl in Thanos' ear and then get big and kill Thanos?
Yeah.
To which there were apparently too many variables. And given the internet, it then progressed, what if Ant-Man crawled up Thanos' butt and then got big?
Oh, now you're talking.
And he would explode out of Thanos.
Yeah.
Or could Thanos clench him away?
Right. Well, okay, I love, and I believe that Ant-Man could do that
yeah.
and would blow up Thanos,
right.
but that doesn't help bring anybody back.
No, but it stops Thanos.
Okay, but whatever.
Right.
Like, I think the essential element
is how do they get back?
My essential question when I see this movie on Thursday night, what I'm looking for is how are they bringing people back?
So maybe they bring everyone back. And then they do the butt maneuver. The fabled butt maneuver.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm loving this so much. It's painful for you. All right, the last one I have here, the Spider-Man trailer, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Fake. They're pulling an Avatar here. And there is a Spider-Man movie coming out, but the trailers we saw, total bogus. It's going to be... Maybe Spider-Man's back, right? But the world is wrecked. And it's like, more of a post-apocalyptic Spider-Man movie, not Spider-Man on vacation in London with all these people that were dead the previous movie.
But you're assuming this Spider-Man and none of those other people are brought back?
No, that, well, some of them brought back, but like half the population disappeared.
Okay.
So like the world's kind of a wreck.
But as far as the characters from Infinity War, is it just Spidey that comes back, or is it Spidey and...
Maybe some do, maybe some don't. Who knows?
Okay.
It's not happy-go-lucky. It's a horrible world out there.
I hope that theory is wrong.
It's most definitely going to not be right.
Yes.
All right, so those are some bad theories.
Okay.
What kind of things are you bringing to the table here?
Well, you know, this is not my forte. I'm not good at this stuff because I'm not qualified. I don't have the background. I don't have
You're not a professor.
The knowledge base. I bow to your wisdom here. to your ridiculousness. But I do have an idea.
Okay.
Why, like... There's so much, and I guess my idea would be a variation of time travel. No, that's not true. It would be more like a variation on the theory that you hate about these movies never happened. What I'm saying is Thanos, there's something funny going on with Thanos and young Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're in that pagoda together at the end, and she says, "What did it cost?" And he says, "Everything."
Everything.
And it's a very powerful moment. And I feel like that conversation happened in something like a dream state. It's either a dream state or an alternative reality or some weird thing. And I wonder if that scene where Thanos is killing all of Gamora's countrymen, people, family, whatever, I wonder if that's where the timeline sort of picks up.
Oh.
No good?
Well, I think they're supposed to be in the soul gem when he does that.
Okay.
And that she might still be alive with her soul in the soul gem.
Yeah.
But, which hypothetically is where everyone else went as well.
So he threw her off the cliff.
He traded a soul for the soul
right,
gem. So
right.
Her soul is inside the soul gem.
Oh, gotcha.
And then hypothetically, when he did the snap, everyone who disappeared is in the gem as well. Their souls.
Yeah. I just wonder if a lot of that didn't happen, if it was all Thanos's, you know, alternative reality.
It's funny because Steve O'Donnell on our Facebook page gave us a theory that Tony Stark wakes up next to, and he said the actress's name, but I'm pretty sure it's...
Pepper?
Huh?
Pepper Potts.
No, it was the actress from... He was using the old... Newhart, where he wakes up next to in the other show
that
he was on.
That was great.
That it was all a dream.
Yeah,
yeah. That it's one of those things for Tony Stark.
It would be great if he woke up in bed with Nick Fury.
What a dream. I don't know. I mean, I think that you're onto something in that, like that. Being in that pagoda is something else. Like in the
I'm hanging my hat on. I don't really know what I'm talking about, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that situation with Gamora and the pagoda and the dream seems like some kind of dream state.
Yeah.
That's part of whatever. Whatever the answer is, that's part of it.
I want to just hark back for a second to Infinity War. Something I wanted to mention about that I forgot. And you kind of bring it up with this Thanos saying, "What did it cost everything?" Rewatching it, it's like... One of the things that makes Thanos so great is that he is doing this horrible thing, but he doesn't seem like that bad of a guy. Like, he's got convictions and he feels like this is the only way to save everyone. But if you look at his dialogue, it's not constantly like, "I'm going to rule the world. I'm going to do..." Like, he's talking to people. Like, when first time he meets Peter Quill, and, you know, Peter pulls the trigger to kill Gamora, but it turns into bubble. He's like, "I like you," and he bounces out, and like, there's a couple times that he's like, "I like you," or "I feel what you're going through," or I relate to you," but this is, you know, "I've got to do this thing," where he's relating to the other characters in the wrong way.
Like when he says to Iron Man, "I hope they remember you."
Yeah, or he even like runs his fingers through Scarlet Witch's hair, and he's just like, He's like, I had to sacrifice. It was a horrible day for me today too. I had to sacrifice so much. And I in my mind, he's just this big bad. And then I realized they definitely humanize him a lot more than I realized. And at the end, after seeing how humanized they did, the fact that he just relaxes and like, he's just like, I did it.
I can go watch the sunset on a grateful universe.
Right.
You reminded me of my biggest problem with Infinity War.
Right.
And this was such a big problem for me when I first saw it that it took me a long time to get over it.
Oh.
They had Thanos dead to rights.
Oh, yeah.
She's on his head going, oh, he's in mourning. And that sets off Peter Quill. And then Tony Stark says, hey, you know, chill out.
Yeah.
Relax. You got to get a hold of yourself because we're almost there. And then he ruins the whole thing. Like, they had him. They had him right there.
So close. His hand was halfway out of the glove.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That annoyed me. I hate when they get that close and then lose it for something so stupid.
Yeah. Well, it showed that he's beatable.
Right.
He's not invincible, but it just, the heroes are flawed.
Okay, so what's your theory on what, I see a note here that says Galacticus.
It's Galactus.
Galactus.
And I think the next phase, I'm really hoping that they tease this, is, you know, we've had Thanos been building up for a long time.
Right.
The next build-up is Galactus. Do you know who Galactus is?
No.
He's mostly a Fantastic Four villain, but he's a giant man who's huge, bigger than the Earth, and he goes through space and he eats worlds. And you know Silver Surfer is?
Like me with jelly beans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Silver Surfer. Like Homer Simpson with donuts.
Yeah. Silver Surfer is Galactus's herald, and he goes to a planet and says, get ready, Galactus is coming. He was going to devour your planet. Leave if you can.
Okay.
And that's his job for Galactus. And then Galactus shows up and then eats the planet, and the Fantastic Four usually turn him away. It's another giant universe, large type. I mean, you could have several movies. You can introduce Fantastic Four. You can introduce Silver Surfer. You can introduce problems on other planets for Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, Galactus is coming to them. And you build up this, like, giant threat that Galactus is coming. And eventually, he's coming to Earth.
That's a great theory for where the franchise is going to go.
But they could tease this in the Stingers.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, that's...
How are they going to get the people back?
Yeah.
They're going to undo the snap. I don't know how. Like, I'm just like, I don't, I mean, it's going to happen. I don't know.
Is it possible that Thanos has a role in bringing them back? Like, is it possible that he sees...
They convince him otherwise.
Yeah, that's impossible.
I don't know.
That would be wild.
In the comics, I forget, it's Adam Warlock who does it, I'm pretty sure. Or defeats him and takes the gauntlet back.
Yeah.
But I could see happening... Here, okay, you want a theory about how they're bringing everyone back?
I do, I'm asking.
All right. Captain America gets the gauntlet, right?
Okay.
And maybe it's one of those scenarios like Guardians of the Galaxy, it's too much for him. So either A, he does it, or he and Tony Stark have to collectively pull together to use the gauntlet to do a snap to bring everyone back. And just like when Thanos did it and it kind of like crushed his hand, it kills them. And that's how they die and leave the series, by bringing everyone back.
So you're pretty sure that the three of them die?
Yeah. Thanos. Well, maybe not Thanos, but at least Iron Man, I think, is going to, Cap's going to die. I think he's out.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. What are they going to do if he survives? Because he's pretty much done.
I don't know. Don't they want him around for cameos? And
I guess. Maybe.
You might be right. I do think that when you look at the whole 22 movies, it started with Iron Man.
Yeah.
When you look at Avengers Infinity War, it started with Thor. And there's a whole narrative narrative which remains unresolved at the end of Infinity War about the problems between Iron Man and Captain America.
Right.
That breach... That gap remains, you know, gapped. So I feel like that's one big thing that, and I think they're going to have to come together. Captain America and Iron Man are going to have to come together And I also thought it was really interesting because Thor, with his special powers, so I feel like the bringing the two together, combining that, ultimately the three of them together to defeat Thanos.
Okay. Yeah,
that
yeah,
has
yeah.
to be the critical storyline, the central storyline.
I could see Tony Stark being the one to do the snap and dying, and then having him live on as AI
could be.
For the next Iron Man character.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
But one thing to note here is that Spider-Man Far From Home is technically the last movie in the phase, not Avengers Endgame.
Interesting.
So, who knows what that's about?
That's a lot to process.
It is.
I can't wait to see this movie.
It's 2 days, man. All right.
Woo!
Let's move on from our pregame Endgame.
Okay.
And talk about some listener notes.
We got some good ones this week.
So Scott emailed us in and he said, is there a reason maybe that Hellboy didn't go so well? And he had a small town movie theater sign that said Heckboy and not Hellboy. I got a good chuckle out of that.
I can picture that theater owner.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We're like, just something we're not putting out, I'm not putting out of my sign.
But I'm not going to not have it.
But I'm not going to not. That's how much of a hypocrite I am. I'm going to take the money that I hope to make from the movie, but I'm not going to put the.
I don't want to angry anybody.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Man.
So, okay. I don't know if you've got a little bit of reputation for yourself these days as the chuckle master. Everyone wants to crack you up. It's like a thing.
It's not hard.
Chris wrote in and he was calling me out because I said if a friend asked me to go see Shazam, I'd probably say yes.
Right.
I had other plans and he asked me to go and I said nah. And he wrote in to try and call me out and tried to get a rise out of you. And then he tells me later, he's like, I don't get it. Penn didn't even respond to my email. I thought I was going to be laughing. And he wasn't going to get any work done. he's like, why does Jamie get all the attention from the other week? I don't understand. So, I mean, there are some upset fans out there of yours.
That's most unfortunate.
Who want you to laugh
yeah.
so hard you can't work.
At their emails.
Yeah, at their emails. So podcast@penncinema.com if you want to make Penn laugh.
If you think you have what it takes.
Yeah. Trust me, it's so difficult.
Right, it's brutal. Now, the next listener note just made my day.
Oh, yeah.
Because my boy John Oliver, we need to talk about John for just a minute. He's no ordinary guy.
Okay.
This guy has been coming to movies at Penn Cinema since day one.
Oh, wow.
Talking November of 06. Him and his lovely family have been in and out of here a million times. And they're loyal, faithful fans. And don't get me wrong, they don't love every movie they see, you know, and they don't watch every movie. But they are really good, loyal fans. And John's a good friend of ours. Good friend of mine. Good guy. So last week we were talking about Tutankhamun. And John was the first guy. He sent me, I think he sent a link or, you know, something like that. And he was like, yeah.
Is this the game?
This is the game. And what was great about his note was he grew up somewhere in the country, I think around here, like in Lancaster. And I grew up in Brooklyn, and I was talking about the little drugstore that I, you know, would play this game in. And but he had the exact same experience. It was a totally different. It was, I believe, from his note, a rural experience. But it was funny how, like, two little kids in the early 80s basically had the same experience, dropping quarters into this, you know, incredibly dumb game.
Yeah.
But we loved it. And so thanks to John for validating that.
Now,
appreciate it.
Here's my question. Did you see that someone offered you a copy of the game?
I did.
Did you take them up? Because I think that you should. That deserves. You got all these things from your childhood and things you love on the wall. You should put that in a frame on the wall.
I should take them up on it?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, because you don't have an Atari, because it was for the Atari, right? But, like, put the cartridge up on the wall and be like, look at this thing.
This is my life.
This is like, I used to play this game / look at dirty magazines every day.
As the king of this game.
Yeah. I think you need to pull him up.
King Tut. Born in Arizona, Louisiana. King Tut.
Is this our new single? please continue. All right. What else did you do? There was no big movies this weekend. It was all Avengers prep. What did you do outside of the movie world?
Not much. I've had a lot going on.
Yeah.
We've been incredibly fortunate to have this German exchange student, and I did a lot of training this weekend. I had a big group session. It was a gorgeous ride on Saturday. We did what's called a brick, which is when you swim. Or, I'm sorry. Well, it can be a swim, but what we were doing was biking and running on Saturday.
I thought it was going to be like cocaine for a second.
Right. Well, that's...
it's called a brick. Right. Whoa, it's taking a turn here.
That's why we go so fast. How do you think our team always wins the races? No, so I don't know. I didn't have a lot of movie or... I mean, I was doing like I was what I would call autopilot entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, I'm watching The Office. I'm watching Friends. I'm watching movies that I've already seen.
Safe Things.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Nothing new.
So Game of Thrones. You didn't...
I'm out.
Whoa. Are you going to get in?
I'm going to 100% get in.
But are you waiting till the end of the season?
I kind of am.
It's only 5 episodes. It's not like it's going to be that long.
Right.
Yeah. I realize there's no way that I could exist in my friend base in the internet without being like caught up. So I'm just
a lot
like,
of pressure.
I'm just like for a month and a half, I'll pay the.
Do you feel that pressure in general? Like there's a hot new series, you know, and it's like, oh, now everybody. Like, when is it okay to just say, you know, everyone's in the office talking about whatever, and when is it okay to just be like, nah, I didn't see it?
I think you got to draw a line. Like for me, my line was superhero television shows. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started up and I was kind of like on the fence about it. And then a billion others were starting up. And I was just like, nope.
Out.
I'm not saying that they're bad. I heard Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been to like almost every Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel at Comic-Con just because I want to see the next one.
Right.
For the last couple of years. And it seems interesting, but my thing is just like, there's too much. Other than the Netflix series, and I even bailed on them after a while.
Yeah.
It just, like, that's, like, I hear Doom Patrol is really funny. Titans is supposed to be good. Gotham is insane. It's just, if I dip into one of those, I'm going to have to dip into them all.
You know, the person who has the most influence on me when it talks about, when you talk about new shows.
Is me.
Is Marley.
Whoa.
Marley. She's got the best taste. She was the one who was like, you got to see Orange is the New Black. You got to see, what was that, Haunted House one? House on the Hill.
Oh, okay.
She turned me on to that one. She's got, yeah, so she's in touch with the good shows.
So when's Marley showing or doing her show podcast about all the hip new shows to
yeah,
watch?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So one other thing other than Game of Thrones for me.
Yeah, Heck Boy.
I saw Heck Boy. Penn, I rolled into this movie.
Wait, right? Were you able to get a seat?
Surprisingly.
Amazingly.
Here's the weird thing. The theater, almost completely empty, right? Roll in. Can you believe it? We roll in, and there are people in our seats.
Perfect.
I was like, he's like, what seats are you in? And we're like, oh, you know, 8 through 10. And he's like, let's move. And it's like, what? Why? Anyway. I thought this movie was going to be like, I saw it, whatever. It wasn't very good. No, this movie was so bad, I wanted to leave many times. I was like, this is embarrassingly bad for the people involved. Like, why? Where did I want to know? I want a documentary on where it went wrong and the people who signed up for it who thought they were making something good. And, anyway.
All right. Avengers Endgame.
Endgame.
Thursday night, Thursday 6 o'clock.
You and I are gonna be here.
Sit.
Say hi to us, give us a high five, let us know you listen to the show. Whatever.
Send us a note, what you want to see. Send us a note, trailers.
Yeah.
We're gonna put trailers on there.
Podcast@penncinema.com, that's where to find us. Also, join us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast.
Join us up.
Join us up there.
Join us up.
Hey, and if you get a chance out there, if you're listening to this through iTunes, throw us up a review on iTunes. That helps a lot.
That would be good.
That's awesome. So, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
So enthusiastic.
I don't know.
That
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.